Blog Talk Radio.
How about I am so not prepared for anything this morning? Ginger, you have free permission to just beat the hell out of me.
I'm somewhat prepared. Girl, I've got the biggest flippin' headache of all time.
Hang with me in my MMO.
Wow, did you hear that?
So many places we can go.
GLaDOS is taking over our podcast already.
GLaDOS, you better keep your hands off. I ain't playing with you, GLaDOS.
I tell you what I didn't get to tell you is, Blaster and I got to play Borderlands till the wee hours of the morning. And you
Ooh,
know what?
How was that?
I think that he is a worse addict than I am. I do. I'm going to tell you why. Okay, here's what happens. And Ginger, you can attest to this. When I start playing the games, it's like we cannot stop. Ginger has to be like, I got to go. Girl, stop talking to me. Corey, I got to go. I was having to say that to Blaster. I was like, Blaster, you need to go to bed, dude. You got to be up. No. Let's finish this part. So we finished that part, and then there's, you know, he'll do two more after, and he just does more, and he just does more, and he just does more. And I'm like, dude, you got to go to bed. And I think I'm getting tired.
And you
better beware, because he's after today, he's all free and clear this week, so he's looking for all of us. He's like, we going to play.
I don't have Borderlands. I'm safe.
Oh, we all got something.
Oh, crap.
You're not safe. Second Life, Magicka, yeah.
Yeah,
he's looking for all of us. He's like,
oh, Magicka could be fun.
And then there's all the millions of MMOs inside Second Life.
Right. Yes, there is.
Yay. Ah, good. Oh, you know what I forgot? We're on air. Good morning. Welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Good morning, everybody.
And I am Nestle's.
Wait, hold on. You're who?
Nestle's, like the chocolate.
Chocolate. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, she's Nestle's on marshmallow.
And that's how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, here it comes.
All the twittering.
Ah, the lovely twittering.
We love you, Twitters. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear, woman? You know that Fable 3 demo we saw that we thought was on Rails?
Yes.
Molly New is saying that it was a horrible mistake. It's not actually on Rails.
It's not on Rails?
No. Story from GamePolitics.com actually came out after we got off air Friday. And Molly New says, perhaps stripping the navigation out of its E3 demo for the Kinect-only Fable title, Fable The Journey, was a terrible... I give up. I can't talk. Already. What are we, 3 minutes in? Yeah, all right. So, it was a terrible idea. In retrospect, Lionhead Studios boss Peter Molyneux thinks they should have left the navigational features of the game in the demo. Because it was stripped to keep a tighter control on the presentation, many media types and viewers believe the game to be an on-rails shooter. This Molyneux has claimed in multiple interviews this week is not the truth, but he blames himself for that perception. Speaking to OXM after his part in the Microsoft E3 briefing, Molyneux actually apologized for the game's debut, calling the whole thing a horrendous mistake. He says, I made a horrendous mistake on the press demo on taking out the navigation allowing players to move. I'll state on record now that Fable the Journey is definitely not on Rails. While Fable the Journey may have come off as an on-rails shooter, it was not the only game presentation from Microsoft that felt like movement was being controlled by the game and not the person controlling the action on screen during Microsoft's presser. And to Molyneux's discredit, the writer here goes on, he still hasn't explained how players move when they are out in the wilderness and away from the horse and carriage they operate on the old and dark, dirty roads of the lands.
Okay, so... they're saying it's not on Rails, but they've not explained.
They're not explaining how it works.
You're going to have to do better than that. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm thinking everybody got pissed off, ticked off that it's on Rails, and now they're going to try to change that somehow. I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, I think it's supposed to have been on rails, and I think they decided they've not too much cared for the public's opinion of that.
Well, speaking of other games that we saw at E3, Star Wars: The Old Republic, they're saying it's basically a ripoff of Warcraft. And didn't you say that when you saw it? Wasn't that you that said that?
Yes, it looks a lot like World of Warcraft, actually. I was like, wait a minute, haven't I seen some of these? Yep, that desert looks familiar. That building there looks familiar. Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm sorry, y'all can probably hear the fan, but it is Texas and it's hot. good headset from Plantronics. I'll give you a plug this morning, Plantronics. Star Wars: The Old Republic, the analyst firm called Cohen & Company is saying this over at gamesindustry.biz. They're saying that it was a derivative. They've described EA's MMO Star Wars: The Old Republic as highly derivative of World of Warcraft and suggested that the game may miss its 2011 release. He says, we got our hands on time with the game and we're largely unimpressed. Doug, who's the senior research analyst covering the media and entertainment sector in firm's E3 report, despite promises from EA BioWare that the title represents a major step toward an MMO design that we saw was essentially a World of Warcraft clone with Star Wars character skins and the BioWare RPG nice, nasty dialogue tree mechanism bolted on for non-player character conversations. Critz also described the PC game's visuals as competent but hardly breathtaking. He said, but makes for allowances in the landscape in which the demo was set. He said, granted, we're playing in a desert area, so other areas may be more impressive looking. On the other hand, we question why EA chose a desert level to showcase the title. Because there's no graphics. That's obvious. It doesn't have to render anything. It goes on further to interpret EA's silence as on a release date as a sign that the game will be delayed until 2012, and cites this as a reason for the recent drop in EA's share price. Talking about Nintendo.
Well, this has already been pushed back once, so for them to push back a second time really kind of worries me. I mean, I don't want to see the game fall through. But if you keep pushing it back, that's exactly what people are going to start assuming, and they're not going to want to buy your game.
Cohen & Company did, however, praise EA's Battlefield 3, which we were saying it looks really great. Mm-hmm. They also said it looks impressive and was a clear leader in a positive buzz at the show. THQ's Saint Row the Third stating that we would compare the opening mission to the opening sequences of the James Bond movie GoldenEye if it were directed by creators of Jackass.
Mm-hmm.
It also showed an interest in Activision Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure, which allows physical toys to interact with a variety of consoles. Activision management thinks in terms of billion-dollar franchises, and we think Skylanders has the right elements to have a chance of reaching that goal. So, we'll see. I think they need to go ahead and pull Star Wars: The Old Republic. Was not a smart idea.
No, and... too many of you Star Wars people, I love you, but y'all have been arguing with me, oh, this is the WoW killer. No, it's not, honey. It's just WoW, just different skins.
The WoW killer is the one that everybody, we know what the WoW killer is. We've played it. However, it's only for the adults is why it's not as, it's not as well known. A lot of people don't know that. Reason why we talk about Fallen Earth, if you play WoW and you're tired of playing with kids and listening to, you know, arguing back and forth, then you want to go over to Fallen Earth, rated M, 18 and up. And I have yet to have gotten into a fight with anybody there.
No, they're all very mature. They're all very helpful, very mature. You can have... All right, we still have some raunchy conversations. I won't even lie.
Oh, yeah, there's adult conversations going on there. That's why it's an adult
but
game.
But it's adult, and it's an adult game, and it's a whole different atmosphere, and you will love it. And it's a beautiful, huge, huge world. And the PvP... Man, there's just something about taking a 2x4 to the back of somebody's head.
And it's not, look, and it's not the, what is it we, I used to call it, turn-based, yeah. It's not based on turn-based at all. You shoot as long as you got bullets. You hit the person as long as that board is good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no waiting for it to reload. Well, there's some abilities you have to load up, but.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very much a great MMO, but doesn't get a whole lot of widespread. Maybe. Wow, that was amazing. But doesn't get a whole lot of widespread love because of, you know, the fact that it's very adult. So, we got the Dark One saying hello to us this morning, and Molly Pop, good morning.
Hello, Molly Pop and the Dark One.
I should say good afternoon for her. I think she's in the UK.
Wow, UK, I want to go. She should send us tickets.
I think she should make room for us on her floor and couch. I'll sleep anywhere. Are you, Ginger, did we lose you again? She's sneezing.
No, I'm muting while I'm coughing and sneezing. I don't know what just happened, but, oh, my eyes are all watering now.
Well, oh, do you need me to do another story? Because I got the good one.
Sure. If you still have one, I'm going to cry.
No. This is a new MMO from Japan called Wizardry Online. Not Wizard 101, but Wizardry. This is from a company called GamePot. I thought it was GameSpot at first. You know, we don't read their stories. But GamePot. And they're bringing Wizardry Online to gamers around the world. Currently, the Japanese language version of the game is being is in the testing phase of development with an exclusive private beta planned this month, sometime this month. Wizardry Online is expected to launch this summer in Japan and will be published, distributed, and operated by GamePot, with additional content periodically provided by Headlock, the game's developer. The game also will be launched in Europe and North America in 2012, so we got to wait a couple of years, unless you speak Japanese. The rival of the legendary Wizardry titles, Wizardry Online, is the next generation incarnation of a series that has been called the godfather of the role-playing game genre. Hot. Wizardry first came to computers in the early 1980s. And the popularity of its Dungeons & Dragons-style gameplay led to the creation of countless sequels, spinoffs, and collections across multiple platforms. Wizardry Online harkens back to the original allure of the groundbreaking Wizardry RPG series, but brings an updated flair for modern gamers. They're saying now, for the first time ever, players around the world can step into the impressive action and captivating lore of this world in a, guess what? Free-to-play online.
Oh, I like free-to-play.
We love free-to-play. Oh, girl, I got to stop playing Troy bad. Not that the game's bad, addictive. Whew. Okay, so since we're confident the return to hardcore role-playing elements will be a shot in the arm for gamers looking for a new challenge in the genre. Of course, it was developed in conjunction with Japanese game studio Headlock. Wizardry Online will offer multiplayer features new to the Wizardry series, such as party play and player versus player combat, PvP for you. Layman, or non-layman, while maintaining the classic style that the series is known for, hardcore gamers, of course, will revel in the return of the complex dungeons that punctuated earlier iterations, and soon will find the game is fraught with significant peril. Wizardry Online. Oh, also, this is very important for some of you out there, you little wimpy wusses. Wizardry Online features permadeath. That's right.
Permadeath?
Permadeath, in which characters can be removed from the game upon dying, creating a more immersive experience. I like that.
Oh, I don't know what to think about that. That sounds awesome.
I like that permadeath business. Love it. Some of you out there don't know how good you have it. Oh, my character rezzed a few feet away from where they died, and I was just a ghost, and all I had to do was push this button, and I came. What's the point in that? There is no,
There are no respawns.
Yes. But there's no fun in your stuff just being there. What happened to the old days in EverQuest when you had to run through 5 cities to get your body back? You felt like you accomplished something. You felt good when you got up from your game.
Girl.
Your legs.
I remember that. I remember having to beg, please, somebody higher level, come drag my body out because I can't get to it.
Are you trying to get close?
I can't get my stuff.
Look, it is surrounded by something, whatever.
Kobolds and some kind of, I don't know, some kind of like underground tunnel cave system or something.
I know what you're talking about. That's the place where the gnolls were. Fippy dog paws babies live over there. Mm-hmm.
Very possibly. I don't remember exactly. It's been so many years.
It had like 15 levels. It just went down and down and down. I don't think I ever got to the bottom of that before I died.
But yeah, but there was like a river, some kind of a river or body of water inside of it you had to cross. And I could get to the body of water, but then past that, I just continuously die. And it was like, somebody please go rescue my body for me. I love y'all.
And see, that made it fun for you to be a higher level because you get to help the lower level. It created a sense of community and closeness. And, you know, Joe Flyear helped me get my body back. And when I get high enough level, I'm going to make him a special necklace. Something. I mean,
yes.
Fun. Good fun. All right.
It was hilarious is what it was.
What you got?
Oh, my turn. I have got an actual, I'm going to go with an honest before I lose it. I told y'all Friday that 3 people in Spain were arrested on suspicion that they were with Anonymous and the PSN hack.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's actually what they were arrested for. That's actually come to be known. According to GamePolitics.com, they pulled it from New York Times. Spanish police have arrested three men they claim were involved in the hacking of Sony's PlayStation Network and the PlayStation Store. The Spanish police are also claiming that the trio are part of the hacktivist group Anonymous. The three men were released on their own reconnaissances, pending formal charges, but are expected to be charged with forming an illegal association to attack public and corporate websites, which carries a maximum sentence of up to 3 years. The official Twitter feed for the hacktivist group does provide some confirmation that the three are somehow connected to the group. Spanish police dismantled the Anonymous hacker group in Spain. They attacked the PlayStation Store, read a tweet from the group's official Twitter feed early this morning. Police arrested three Anonymous leaders in Barcelona, Alicante, and Almeria. They attacked governments of Egypt, Algeria, Libya, and Colombia. Anonymous has thousands of zombie computers infected all over the world. A subsequent tweet directed at Spanish law enforcement offer a simple ominous message from the group. Dear at Policia, expect us from Anonymous. The New York Times report adds that police are alleging that one of the men ran a computer server in an apartment on the northern side of Gijo, that was used to attack Sony services. It has long been speculated that the hack's point of origin was somewhere in Europe, but a handful of arrests doesn't add any real credence to that theory. It is also unknown if these arrests are an isolated incident or the beginning of a sweep by law enforcement. Spanish police also allege the trio were directly involved in hacking attacks on BBVA and Bankia, NL, and government servers belonging to Egypt, Algeria, Libya, Iran, Chile, Colombia, and New Zealand. Several of those countries, I don't care if you hack. Honestly, go for it.
Okay, but here's where the stupidity comes in. Those people are crazy. This is not like messing with America. Most we're going to just put you in jail. They're going to blow us up if they find you. Oh, this is not smart.
Yeah, I'm thinking Libya, Iran. Yeah, those two right there, probably not so good. Algeria, they're kind of chaotic, so I'm not too afraid. But yeah, Libya and Iran, that could be a little bit scary. But the rest of them, I don't know why you would.
Well, they have their own, you know, riches or things like that. I'm just looking at the fact of we know that people in that region have no qualms about strapping a bomb on them and running in somewhere. So there you are thinking, oh, I'm safe in jail. Bam, the jail's blown up. You know, you got to think about stuff like that.
Exactly.
Little people. That's not smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not good. And apparently Anonymous is now vowing revenge against Spain.
Against Spain.
Yeah.
Just don't go after Italy or Paris. That's where the shoes live, okay? Then we're fine. All right. That's the bad of me. That is bad. Oh, Molly Pop says she's not in the UK. I won't say where she is because we don't want anybody stalking her. You know how we...
I love you, Molly Pop. Can I stalk you?
She said we're welcome to come to her house anytime.
Oh, awesome.
Well, you heard us telling you about the... Were you done, by the way? I just interrupted all of...
Yeah, I think I'm done.
I'm all up in the middle of Ginger's story.
I don't know. I'm good.
I feel like we've been gone for like weeks. Do you feel that way this morning?
I know. Girl, and I haven't.
It's only been 2 days. I think I got too much sleep. I'm going to sleep after the podcast is over. Anyway.
I did not get enough sleep.
I got too much sleep. It's been so quiet. Considering it's summer, it's been amazingly quiet. I haven't seen any kids out in my neighborhood. Anyway, too hot for them. We'll try. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you guys that are aspiring developers out there will be happy to know. We've been telling you it's coming. So today, officially, the Dare to Be Digital contest launches. You have 9 weeks to win a computer, or to win with computer games, win a BAFTA. I'll tell you what BAFTA is here in a second. Students are competing as far away as China, Denmark, India, and, of course, here. Student computer game designers start today to build the, I'm having trouble reading this, really. This is like the words just all jumbled up, and I'm not dyslexic. I don't know what the problem is. Today you start the internationally renowned Dare to Be Digital Challenge to build a complete game in just 9 weeks with the best game taking home a BAFTA. Applications from over 70 universities worldwide were whittled down to just 15 teams who now go head-to-head in an intense competition that every year grabs the attention of the computer games industry. Yes, it does. Amazing games come out of there. Hosted and run by the University of Aberdeen-Dundee, Dare to Be Digital brings in games industry professionals to handpick and mentor the teams. Many competitors go on to receive jobs from the world-leading companies. See, this is what needs to be a reality show, not watching pro gamers in a house together. This is what I've been saying. I'm serious. Wouldn't you watch this on TV?
Yes. Yes, I would.
I've been saying that for just years. No disrespect to any of the Ultimate Gamer people, because I know a lot of them, you know, on a personal level, but I don't really want to see you on TV. I see you all the time. So I want to see this.
I see you all the time.
Well, they're not doing anything different they're not doing in person. I don't like you. You touch my shoes. That's my controller. My name is on the bottom. That's pretty much what happens when we all get together, you know, and then there's a few drinks and everybody's happy. So there you go. you can't do the drinking part on TV, which means everybody's always fighting. But nothing to see there, really. Also, the contest is also, they're delighted to welcome the Intel Corporation as a title sponsor for a third year. The company has worked with DareToBe Digital to give teams financial support and supply them with the latest technology for the competition. And had I known that, we would have entered. The Finnish games go on to show at the public in the free Dare to Play Games Festival, which is usually held in Dundee's Card Hall, and this will be in August, 12th through the 14th, and then on to the BAFTA Video Game Awards, where the winner of the BAFTA Wants to Watch Award is picked. Andrew Semple, studio director of Rockstar North, yes, I said Rockstar, said Dare to Be Digital provides an important platform for fostering and bringing on new talent to the video games industry. Rockstar is honored to once again lend its support and provide mentoring for this year's competitors. Man, how long do we got? 9 weeks? I got some games we can build.
I got some games we can build, yeah.
Pony corns, that's what I'm saying.
yes.
Richard Hare, who's the co-founder of the Dundee-based Outplay Entertainment, said Dare to Be Digital has pioneered the search for new talent, championed the indie games ethos, and supported the next generation of developers like no other event in the world. And you can read the rest of the story actually up on our website, but I will tell you, it is also sponsored by computer games trade body Yuki, the Association for UK Interactive Entertainment, and UK also works extensively with computer games education providers, developers, and publishers to promote the UK games industry and the government, and we really need this over on this side of the pond.
We do. Bring it here.
I think ESA people, instead of putting on E3, this is much better use of your time. Oh, could you imagine an E3-like event for these indie developers where they get to be on the floor? See, this is what I mean, TV. This could all be done on TV.
Yes.
And at the end of the 9 weeks, they have a big E3-like event, and we all get to go around and check out their game. It's on the floor. They have to put together, you know, I'm going to be...
Oh, that sounds like fun.
I know it would be fun. Mm-hmm.
You people got to start doing this. This would be awesome.
I don't want to see the Diary of a Booth Babe stuff you showing on Spike and G4.
I don't want to see this.
This is what I want to know. And people need to know how games are made so
they really do that? I mean, I don't watch that crap. They really?
Yeah.
Diary? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was not this past year, but the year before I was watching G4, and that was part of their programming leading up to it. Diary of a Booth Babe.
And it's so hard to put on my makeup, and I don't know what I'm talking about, and I've got all these really cute geek boys talking to me, and...
They don't think the geek boys are cute because they don't see what we see.
Those poor girls.
Yes, because some geek boys are hot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to know what to do. Get them to, you know, tone down the geek dress and get a few haircuts. Oh, man. Some of y'all out there are hot and don't even know it. Those are the hottest ones. They don't know they're hot. Love it.
Very true. And now that we're over here drooling about us, some geek boys.
And eating chicken salad.
no chicken salad, but that does sound good.
I had to. I'm dying.
Corey needs to come cook for me.
And I am going to come cook for you one day. You're not going to want me to go.
Oh, I like that. Yay. That's fine. I got another room that I'm fixing up. You can come stay.
Good, because I'm going to stay.
awesome. All right, so brand new screenshots from Two Worlds 2 expansion of the Flying Fortress.
I'm glad I don't like you today.
GLaDOS
is being mean to our ginger. GLaDOS.
Let me go, GLaDOS.
Oh, she finally did. There she goes.
Thank you, GLaDOS. I actually had GLaDOS on me the other day. I'm going to tell you about that later. Talkware Interactive has released new beautifully rendered in-game screenshots that show just how much the expansion has improved the look of the hit RPG franchise. It's obvious in these new shots alone that Topware and Reality Pump have once again upped the ante in this next installment of the Two Worlds franchise, including all new dialogue animations and high-quality cutscene cinematography. Cinematography. There we go. I'll get it right third time around. It's not only buckets of content and equipment that will be given to the fans, but a push towards a better-looking game. The close-ups give the player a clear look into just how visually pleasing this anticipated title will be. with the recent showcasing of a playable demo of Two Worlds 2, Pirates of the Flying Fortress, at this year's E3 in Los Angeles, it was clear to see the vast improvement in all aspects of this pirate adventure expansion. Experience it for yourself and look forward to the release of Pirates of the Flying Fortress this October 2011. Yay! So, new expansion for a game I haven't even heard about.
Yes, because when you watch E3 at home, that's all they want to show you is those, yeah. That's why we covered the other stuff, or we tried to anyway. Sometimes we get a little sidetracked.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, it seems we have another hacking victim.
Oh no! Wait, who got hacked?
Bethesda, and I'm going to need y'all not to mess with Bethesda because they are working on Elder Scrolls Skyrim, and I need that finished. Thank you.
Why would you hack Bethesda?
I don't know. Well, there's a post on the official Bethesda blog that has revealed that the company was a target of hacking or a hacking attempt last weekend, not this past weekend, although the only data which was stolen was usernames and passwords. The announcement played down against the attacks, but warned users to change any password and login combinations which match those used on forums. The post read, over the weekend, a hacker group attempted an unlawful intrusion of our websites to gain access to data. Since we believe we take an appropriate action to protect our data against these attacks, while no personal financial information or credit card data was obtained, the hackers may have gained access to some usernames, email addresses, and or passwords. As a precaution, we recommend that all of our fans immediately change passwords on all our sites, including community forums and the statistics sites we maintain for our Brinks players. Yes, you Brinks people need to change passwords. If your username, email, address, password is similar to what you use on other sites, we recommend changing the password at those sites as well. As we don't know the further plans the hackers may have, we suggest you keep an eye out for suspicious emails and account activity. We regret any inconvenience that these attacks on us cause you. These attacks will be evaluated to determine if any additional protections we might take would be prudent. Of course, the most recent victims in the spate of industry-related hackings were Nintendo and Epic Games, although neither company believes that any financial information was compromised during those attacks. And that's from over at Games Industry as well, gamesindustry.biz. What is with the people in the hacking? I don't know,
but they need to cut that crap out.
This is ridiculous, people. You are, and you know what the bad part is? Some of them are gamers, but I'm willing to bet they're probably between the ages about 16 to 22 is when you think things like this is funny.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's hilarious. It is so hilarious. Ha ha, I hacked into Bethesda. Ha 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 ha. No. Hack for
it's going to be so funny when I hack into your face.
You need to hack for purpose, people. You're not doing anything with this beautiful mind that you have, but causing mayhem. Are you trying to ruin the games industry? Do you not want games anymore? Ooh, wouldn't it be funny if it turned out it was a church group?
I don't know where that came from. But yes,
I just thought about it. It'd be funny if it was a church group that was doing it. We're all mad at each other. We'll make them all fight with each other. They'll think the other one did it.
Seriously, and some people seem to think this too, and it's kind of like, what are you thinking?
It is not hilarious. You're ruining our games.
We're not happy with this. You need to leave our games alone. I don't think you understand just what you're doing and how ticked off some of us gamers are going to be if we find you. And we will find you.
Climbing in your window, snatching your pewter up.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? It is my turn. I'm all like, doo, 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 doo.
And I'm trying to chew this chicken all inconspicuous.
Cache of chipped consoles, pirated games seized in Birmingham, UK raid. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. They pulled it from BBC. UK trading standards officials announced that they have seized 250 Xbox 360s and hard drives and 450 copied Xbox games from an apartment in the city of Birmingham. The haul, which was taken in a raid last week, has an estimated street value of £500,000, according to officials.
Oh, my God.
Little L symbol pounds? Anyways.
Yes.
London dollars. Law enforcement has been monitoring a website related to the raid that offered chipped consoles. A tip from the public started the investigation, although the details surrounding that part of the story were not disclosed further. West Midlands Police and the Association of UK Interactive Entertainment, UKI, which represents the video game industry in the UK, took part in the operation. A council representative says Birmingham Trading Standards has unveiled that Birmingham Trading Standards has unveiled what industry experts have called one of the largest ever seizures of illegally chipped or flashed games game consoles ever discovered in the UK, with an estimated street value of more than £500,000. While some may think chipping or flashing is a victimless crime, the truth is that such activity directly supports the black market and counterfeit games, which in turn endangers the legitimate jobs and the businesses in Birmingham. This is coming from Councillor Neil Eustace.
Yeah. He's very, very right.
Xbox 360.
Wow. You cut out just then. How many Xbox 360s was it?
250 Xbox 360s.
Why would... You know what? I was about to ask a stupid question. Why would you need them? Of course you need them so that you can test them after you copy them. This is just... People, you're destroying our industry. Like I said, I understand sometimes you want to grab you a game or two, but at least go back and pay for it. The developers worked hard. When it's a sucky game, they worked hard. Oh, jeez, people.
I don't know what's wrong with people nowadays.
They're killing our industry.
Treat them right or something.
That's bad home training. Some mamas and daddies need to get some belts and go to work. That's what I think. Anyway.
Yes, I agree.
Hack this, Billy, hack this! Okay, anyway. Just because E3 is over doesn't mean all the conferences are over. There are still tons going on, such as Casual Connect in Seattle. Oh, how I wish I could go. I love Seattle. This is the 6th annual Seattle show, our Casual Connect, or Casual Games Conference, to address the future and the brutal truths facing the gaming industry. Of course, this takes place in Seattle, Washington, from July 19th through the 21st. They're saying while 2010 will be remembered as the year that Facebook established itself as a legitimate gaming platform, the future is not beholden to one distribution channel, one business model, or one type of game even. This year at Casual Connect Seattle, they said they'll look ahead to try to identify new hurdles emerging, continuing to foster continue to foster innovation. And I wish I could talk. Push the creative and technical barriers, and remain focused on the common objective of delivering an entertaining and engaging experience. Content for the 2011 event will focus on emerging trends for the casual games industry and outline opportunities on online, social, and mobile platforms. They have some really interesting speakers. Let me see if I can grab somebody we might know. Well, we might not know the names, but you know their companies. There's Paul Phelan, who's the founder of Big Fish Games. You also have Dave Roberts at PopCap Games. We got Heiko Huberts at Big Point. Sean Ryan, who's director of games over at Facebook. Amazing. Seth Ladd, who's over at Google. And I'm trying to find a woman. We're not a well-known company, but we're going to mention her because it's a woman. Jennifer Liu, who's Director of Business Development at Tiny Co.
Very nice. Very nice, Jennifer.
Of course, there's some lectures that are being planned as well. Wow, and I won't read these, but we will put them up for those of you who are interested. If you're up in the area or will be up in the area during that time, you can go check it out. I wish we could go. These lectures look interesting. They need to stop calling them lectures. They need to start calling them parties because that works out better.
That's what that is.
Yeah, it's a party. It's much more people to show up when you say party instead of lecture anyway. Nobody wants to go to a lecture.
No, nobody wants to go to a lecture. Everybody wants to go to a party.
And there's tons. Oh, gosh. Did I see LeVar Burton? Yeah, I did see him on this list to speak. LeVar Burton, actor. You guys are like, who's LeVar Burton? If you were little and you watched, what was that? The Magic School Bus or one of those shows on... on PBS back in the day. He was one of... wait a minute. I'll think about it. I can't remember the name of it. You guys know who I'm talking about.
I've not got a clue.
Okay, he was on Star Trek. The guy with the black guy with the glasses.
Yes. Okay. He was like the Magic School Bus driver or something too, right?
I think he was on the show. I don't think he was the driver.
Okay.
He introduced the car. I don't remember, child. I left PBS behind as soon as Sesame Street was over. Some Oscar to grouch. There you go.
that would have made me get up early in the morning, and yeah.
I was up early. That was before games, though.
No, I was one of those kids. No, not watching TV that early in the morning, because I got to sleep.
I was. Even watching Spanish. There was some Spanish show. I don't know if it ever came on all over. I think it was just here in Houston. Garos Galindas. Somebody out there was going, yeah, I remember that show. Yeah. I used to watch. I don't know what they were saying, but I watched it every morning at 4 a.m.
There was some, I don't remember what it was. There was one show I'd wake up every morning, some Spanish kitty show, and I would wake up every morning and watch it before school.
No,
what was being said.
Not a word.
Not a clue. Not a clue, but it was amusing. All right, so video games trade body Yuki, UKIE, to sponsor the UK Council for Child Internet Safety Summit. Have we already done this one? I don't think so. UKIE will be using its sponsorship of tomorrow's UK CCIS Summit to promote the positive side of gaming and highlight the lead role that the interactive entertainment industry plays in protecting children in an online world. The video games industry takes the health and well-being of consumers very seriously, especially young people, and is a member of the UK CCIS Executive Board. UKIE is therefore extremely pleased to be able to sponsor and support this year's UK CCIS Summit. UKIE will be taking the opportunity to highlight the positive side of gaming, the industry's commitment to safe and sensible gaming, online and offline, and its commitment to parental controls and age rating systems as key tools in keeping children safe in online environments. UKIE will also be hosting a workshop exploring how the games industry is working to make sure that children play online video games safely and sensibly. The session will include a look at the latest online games, the importance of age ratings, an introduction to parental controls on game consoles. The UK CCIS Summit, being held on Tuesday, the 14th of June, will gather ministers and key figures from the worlds of technology and child protection together to discuss which child safety strategies can have the most impact. The Minister for Children and Families, Tim Lofton, says UKIE is a member of the UK CCIS Board and plays an active role in promoting the games industry commitment to the health and well-being of young people. According to Ofcom, young people are increasingly using game consoles to go online, and it is important that parents are aware of this. I welcome UKIE's sponsorship and involvement with the UK CCIS Summit and look forward to working with them to further improve the safety of young people in online environments. UKIE Chairman Andy Payne says UKIE is delighted to be sponsoring and playing a lead role in this year's UK CCIS Summit. The video games industry takes the health and we've already read that, people. You're repeating yourselves. Millions of people now enjoy playing games safely and sensibly online every day. UKIE promotes safe and sensible gaming through PlaySafe area of our website, which is ukie.org.uk/PlaySafe. And looks forward to continuing to play a key role in the important debate around child internet safety.
You know what, Tal? You know
how safe is to play with your kid and know what they're playing.
Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth. Well, I am over checking out a site called Search Enterprise Desktop, and I got some good and bad news for you people.
Oh, yeah? What kind of news you got for us?
Those of you who don't know, you just got your new computer. You're all excited. I got Windows 7. Well, guess what? Windows 8 is now on the horizon. of course, yes.
Windows 7 just launched, a couple of months ago, right?
Well, again, this is over at our people at Search Enterprise Desktop. TechTarget.com if you want to check it out, their news story. And this just arrived in my mailbox. I went, oh, God. But they're saying while Windows 8 is not expected actually until 2012, the first rumblings of Microsoft's marketing machine already started earlier this month, and the company began disclosing little tidbits about the technologies to be included in the upcoming release. Of course, much of the intention that it's getting has to do with its tiled interface, which if you got the link, did we ever post the link to the Apple press conference?
I don't think so.
Well, very similar to what we saw there of the Apple press conference, which replaces the Windows Start menu. Which supports touch-only screens ranging from small screens on controller devices to large PC-based desktop screens. Sounded familiar?
Yes.
Very much like the Apple, the iOS. And as part of that marketing machine, Rumble Microsoft officials said that they think the new technologies can be used as the interface for, if not help inspire, a new generation of touch-centric hardware devices. Well, a lot of IT execs see some of the opportunities to deploy the technologies in their shops, but need some questions answered before they can even conduct an initial evaluation. Some of the questions center around the compatibility of applications designed to take advantage of touch-centric mixing with legacy applications that are not. There are also questions about costs associated with training IT support people, because that's going to be crazy.
That is going to be.
Over the long term, and this is from Bill Yaris, who's the vice president and CIO of the Seattle Times. And if you didn't know, Microsoft is based in Seattle. He says, I see possibilities for this, but over the short term, you'll have to deal with the challenges of tech support, training, and apps compatibility. Like your Word, or like, for me, Photoshop. No. It's supposed to be compatible with things like Windows 7, sort of, but there's still a lot of questions about moving our legacy apps to it. Yura said that he can envision many of the workflow processes associated with producing the paper and getting the paper ready for delivery to the printer, tasks that are not keyboard or mouse intensive being replaced by touchscreen systems, of course. He said, looking at touchscreens and the paradigm we have now may not make a lot of sense, but depending on how well the apps vendors and IT shops can modify their apps, it could drive how we use these devices differently. Excuse me, Angeletto Valletta, who's the senior vice president also at the Sun National Bank, also sees opportunities to deploy touch-centric technologies, but for now, largely in strategic areas. He sees them playing a role in the branch of the future, where there will be be an emphasis on self-service, where customers access information on products and services using touchscreen kiosks. And I could tell you right now five different ways where that could go horribly wrong. I'll tell y'all later. For users who have no immediate need for touch capabilities, Microsoft officials said they can easily turn it off and revert to using their mouse and keyboards. I am concerned with what that person just said about the bank. It's really easy to put something like this in a bank where there's nobody monitoring it and somebody walk up with, let's say, a piece of scotch tape and can lift a fingerprint from a screen.
Exactly.
And lift all of them in the correct order that the person typed in their PIN and everything they touched after. I don't like that in a bank, and I'm not liking it for my Photoshop. Everything else, maybe. I'd like to see some touch gaming or something where PC gaming could change forever with this technology. But
it could. It can also be really
bad.
Really, really, really not good thing.
But according to this article, right now, the IT shops are like, I don't know, we got to retrain all our people. Oh, no. And now, as I told you guys last week, there is a Microsoft store opening again here in Houston, and I'm going to go down there. And this is going to be the first question I actually asked them. And we may be live that morning. And if it's not live, watch our CinchCast. I'll make sure that I put it up, and I'll interview, and it'll go up 2 seconds after I do it, which will be interesting to hear what they have to say. And again, it'll still be like live because it cannot be edited, and they cannot change it. Ha ha.
That would be – I like that idea.
What, the CinchCast?
Yes.
We've been having that. I usually keep it turned off until we go to events. So if you guys are ever trying to keep up with us at events, remember our stuff, you won't have to wait to see. We don't stream it. We don't have any commercials. Our interviews go up at least 5 to 10 seconds after they're done. So you want us to – we have what we call interactive interviews. Something you want us to go check out at PAX, you let us know. We'll go over and do the interview, and you can listen to it right after. No way.
That's amazing. I can't wait to go to PAX. We're going to have so much fun.
I'm about to buy some new shoes already. I see what's going to happen. See how Ginger sounds? She's going to have me running up and down those hills in my heels. I'm going to get me some acetonas just for her.
Yeah, that's going to be hot. All the guys going to be going crazy.
Yeah, as long as they don't look at my feet. Because I will be barefoot.
Wait, man, I am going into shoes. Not. That's something else. I have an address made. Anyways.
Uh-oh, you know what? We're going into our break, actually.
Break time! Yay! Girl, I need that. Head's going to explode today. I don't know what's going on with this weather. But my allergies are killing me.
The joys of living in Texas. Mm-hmm. So anyway, guys, you can listen to this news and other news, as always, at GamingHX.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com.
Oh, there we go. I needed that music.
Yes. And, of course, if you want to listen to the non-streaming portion that we're about to go into, you can always download and listen to it later.
And you know you want to come back. I've got a story about a great, awesome, wonderful guy who's been creating gaming systems, well, accessories for
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that the one where there's only two in the world? Is that the one you're talking about?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. I got to have it.
No,
Hey, yo, the battleground's my domain. Release my pet, and you're gonna feel the pain. Check the scoreboard, do we even got a question? Farming 8Ks, yeah, this is my obsession. my spirit, these heads and ass bite like Britney. Babysitting, it'll leave a thick impression. My tone is alone. Every time I Rambo attack, I do it with aggression. Why you so mad? Or just speak to your discretion, cause I'ma take you down and there is no prevention. Nah, nah, nah. How I feel, I'm asking, cause I gotta wonder. Nah, nah, nah. Get your ass kicked by a girl.
Download the Earth. Start my count again. Every time I hear that, oh, I miss that. God,
I love that song.
Mm-hmm. Not going back to WoW, people. Not going back. Quit trying to get me addicted to it.
I tell you what's bad. The new car doesn't have MP3 capabilities, and I'm just dying to rock this in the car. Just pull up next to somebody.
Yes, that would be awesome.
And I can't. I'm about to put it on a CD.
For old school. Boo for old school. I think there's a way to do it with CD players.
There is. There's a little thing you can buy to put in there. Blah, blah, blah. But I don't want to. Oh, actually, we had one, and it was just my other truck that died. To get fixed and left it in the truck on accident. So it's sold. Somebody has a nice, pretty new Wi-Fi, something, CD player.
Aww, that sucks. I hate it when that happens. You can't go back and get that once you've done that.
Well, we tried, but they were like, we already sold it.
It's
we don't
gone.
Know.
You're screwed.
We're like, it doesn't even drive and you sold it. Yes, somebody wanted it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I gotta tell y'all, eating healthy is good. But I am so tired of eating this chicken now. Oh, man. I don't want any more chicken the rest of the day. Any more chicken salad. None. Just no more. Okay.
That's fine. That's fine. I'll come to your house. I'll eat some chicken. I haven't had anything to eat yet today.
You say that. Oh, God. I'm tired of eating. Okay, I got a spammer sending me stuff on Twitter. You are so going to block land, guy.
Oh, I hate that. I had one of those the other day. Click on this link. I don't think so. I don't know you.
Hey, Gamer Girls Radio.
You blah, blah. Are following me.
Oh, you are on your way to spam land, dear. Spam land. Yes. And you sent it to me twice. I would have let you go with once, but twice? No, 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 no.
No, I don't know what was wrong with some of these people. I was like, y'all are nuts.
I understand. Oh, jeez. I don't understand. I was going to say something nice. Okay, so I'm going to report you, and then you're going to get blocked.
Gonna report you, and then you're gonna get blocked.
Oh, I don't have to. I don't have to block them. See, I like the new Twitter features. Have you been trying out the new Twitter?
No, I haven't. I need to.
It's awesome.
All right. Well, I guess I should go ahead and jump into my story because the people who stuck with us are waiting. Montana man builds 30 years of quadriplegic gaming. I'm actually pulling this from the Yahoo News text section this morning from their gaming section. Rios, takes a flutist.
This is a triumph. GLaDOS is singing to you.
GLaDOS, let me go. This is an awesome story, GLaDOS.
All right, and go.
All right. For Ruben Rios to throw a touchdown, takes a flutist on. Break away from the town. Puffs into a...
Oh, GLaDOS is back.
GLaDOS! Oh, I can see it, too. Yeah, my whole thing's a little spinning.
Uh-oh, don't go, Ginger. Stay with us.
Don't go into the light, Ginger. Don't go into the light.
See, I heard that very clearly.
All right, so Rios is a quadriplegic with no use of his body below his shoulders. For Rios to play video games like Madden NFL 11, he uses a controller that combines lift controls, puffs, and sip tubes, and a head-operated joystick. That mouse controller is an innovation from Ken. Oh, I'm going to kill your name, Ken. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yankelevitz, a Montana engineer whose hobby is handmaking unique controllers to give quadriplegics access to video games, usually requiring two hands. But with the retired Bozeman's engineer's 70th birthday approaching, disabled gamers say that they fear there will be no one to replace Yankelevitz. Yankelevitz has sustained quadriplegic game controllers for 30 years almost entirely by himself. The retired aerospace engineer hand makes the controllers with custom parts in his Montana workshop, offering them at a price just enough to cover parts. Gamers and gaming advocates say that Yankelevitz controller's functionality and price is unrivaled for quadriplegics. Yankelevitz began his work on mouse-operated video game controllers in 1981 for the Atari game console to give quadriplegic people a chance to engage with one of the few activities open to them. The design was simple on the early models, that users only needed to be able to push a few buttons and move a joystick through their controllers. Over time, Yankelevitz adapted the designs to more complex consoles, including the Xbox and PlayStation platforms. He has no formal relationship with any of the companies, saying they aren't interested because there isn't a sufficient market. Boo, Xbox and PlayStation. Boo.
They keep saying that, and that's why our guys over at ablegamers.com are doing so well, because somebody is believing them. There is a market. We have a lot of people that are handicapable. Mm-hmm. I like to use that instead of handicapped. Yeah. But they just need the right controller. What is with the...
I don't know, but this is just not right. You don't want to support it because there's not a market. There is apparently a market.
Fact, there's no market for women gamers either. We don't play games.
Yeah.
We don't play any games. We don't do anything. The rest of the only gamers in the world are white males. That's it.
Apparently. That annoys me. And they're all, you know, 19, live in their mom's basement and have no job.
And you know what? You just reminded me. I meant to harp a little bit on Best Buy. Some things you guys are doing are great. I felt really insulted watching TV over the weekend. The commercial where the mom is in the store with the son, and she's asking about a computer, and the son steps in, "Mom, I'll handle this." Look here, Best Buy and people out there. There are plenty of moms and grandmoms and aunties and great aunties that are more than capable of knowing what's in their computer and what to ask for. Stop painting women as
these
little helpless simps. Even as a mother, they don't know how to do anything.
Girl, I cannot tell you how many times I've gone into Best Buy here in town, and they've treated me like that. I have everything written down that I want. I've even got pictures. I've already researched it. I know what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to talk me into other crap, or they're trying to argue with me. And it's kind of like, no, you are going to try to sell me something that's not going to work, and it's a waste of money, and once I open it, you aren't going to want to take it back.
And I already know I don't want this, period.
Exactly. And they're like, well, what are you really going to be using this for? You don't actually need this high-end graphics card. Excuse me? I don't? Most people are only going to be playing social games. No, just because I'm a girl, I have a boob, I have a fun box, you think I'm on Facebook games?
A fun box.
Those guys annoy me. I absolutely hate going over there. I hate it.
But you are most correct, because that is the thing that TV is doing. I hear a lot of men say they hate watching commercials because, oh, these commercials emasculate men. I don't know what the female equivalent is for being emasculated, but I'm tired of being painted as the stupid girlfriend, you know, in the sidecar that doesn't know how to pick out my computer parts, or I need help, or the mom who's like, oh, my son has to step in and help me because I'm so helpless. Honey, any person that can give birth to another human being and get up and walk around the same day is not stupid or helpless. Let me just point that out to you. Anyway.
I'm going to call out the guys at the GameStop downtown in the mall, by the way. Every time I go in there, I have somebody with me who's male. Y'all ignore me. He has not a clue what he's looking at. He's just looking at all the pretty pictures. And y'all are totally ignoring me. I'm like, can you get me that one off the top shelf? I can't reach it. And y'all just kind of walk past me. Sir, can I help you?
You gotta train your GameStop people, because I've had to. Now when I go in with my significant other, they don't talk to him. And if I send him to the store to get something and he's not sure what, they actually have my phone number. They'll call me and say, he's asking for this, and I'm pretty sure that's not what you wanted. And I don't want you up here yelling.
That is not. Yes, I have got to see that. Because now I go in there and, you know, he's looking at all the pretty pictures. Oh, this looks cool. No, that's got bad reviews. Oh, with the picture. No, I don't care what the picture says. We're not playing that.
So, yeah, you got to get your GameStop guys trained. And I got a whole new crop I got to train at another GameStop. But they were nice. This is the one that showed me the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, very happy that there was no sexism or at all in his conversation, other than a little, you know, harmless flirting, couple of eye gestures. But other than that, didn't treat me any different than any other gamers, you know, talked to me about L.A. Noire and didn't say, hey, want to try this Barbie Horse Adventures? No, and how about I'm going to cut you? How about that?
How about I'm going to cut you?
Would you like to try being cut?
I like that.
for suggesting Barbie horse adventures. So, yeah, nice guys. But you got to train them, Jen. You got to train them. That's to all you girls out there. If you go to your GameStop regularly, what you do is you're going to have to do this. It's going to confuse them. You're going to go in. You're going to put on your makeup. Or if you're going out somewhere, you're nice dressed. I mean, you're really nice dressed. And go in there and then just start talking about games, lean on the counter. They're going to be confused for a minute. It's confusing to see the pretty in front of you and all that geekiness coming out. It's going to confuse them at first. And then when they say the wrong thing, they mention something about girl gamer or try this pink game, that's when you're going to go off on them and say, blah, 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 blah. And then it'll happen again. They will respect you. They'll bow down at your feet. What would you like, oh, powerful girl gamer? Yes, damn straight, we're powerful. Anyway.
Yes, that is hilarious.
But you gotta get them told.
Yes, got to do something because this is just getting ridiculous. Ridiculous.
All right. All right. We got 3 minutes. Let me do one last one.
Sorry, we're kind of derailed today.
Yes. All right. Bulk up and increase your... Oh, wait a minute. That's a spam.
Wow.
Ooh, you people with the spam.
All right.
They get me at least once a day. Well, I can't read that to you. Either can I read this one or this one? Oh, wow. I
endorse that, and like half a dozen guys go out and buy it.
They would. Let me. Well, now I'm at a loss because that was my closing story.
Monday, folks. Monday all day long.
Well, I can tell you this. Let's close out with the charts really quick because we wanted to make a habit of telling you that. Well, you'll be happy to know, you people in the UK that are listening in the afternoon, Duke Nukem, number one, took the number one spot from Ellie Noir.
Really?
Yes, Duke Nukem
really
Forever.
Beautiful.
Yes, which began development 15 years ago, seemed to have stalled irrevocably several times during development, has debuted at number one in the UK charts. Despite a Metacritic rating of just 50% on Xbox 360, its leading platform by sales, the game sold 56% of its copies for the 360, 6% of which were $64.99, or about $59.99 for us special edition versions. It pushed L.A. Noire, also from the same publisher, Take-Two, down into the second place for the first time since its release. Sales of L.A. Noire dropped by 54% from last week. 505 Games multi-platform workout Zumba Fitness climbed back up into the third place, and it should, putting PS3 exclusive Infamous 2 in fourth place in its debut week. Lego Pirates of the Caribbean drops down to fifth place from the second, with Dirt 3 slipping to sixth from third. Also, THQ's Red Faction Armageddon debuts at eighth with 70% of sales from on its Microsoft console. So, rounding out the last, I'm going to give you the rest of the 10, you have Brink at number 7. Red Faction, actually this is the first time it entered the charts, it's saying at number 8. Call of Duty Black Ops, number 9. And GLaDOS, Portal 2, at number 10.
Wow, I cannot believe. Wow. And that is getting such horrible reviews from people, too.
Duke Nukem?
Yes, Duke Nukem.
Well, you know the world we live in.
Crazy people.
yes, crazy people. Okay, getting text messages from I'll tell you about those off the air. Okay, so cannot say those on the air. Wow. Well, people, it is time for us to close it out for the day. It is noon, and we have to go get some actual lunch since you all don't want to feed us.
I know. We've been doing this how long, and none of y'all have sent me any pizza.
Well, we've had people offer to buy us lunch, but you do understand if we go to eat lunch with you, we can't do the show while we're doing lunch. The whole in people's ears just not attractive.
No, not attractive at all.
I had to sneeze then. Anyway.
Bless you.
Thank you. Happy Monday to our fellow girl and guy gamers out there. I do have something I'm going to share with you on the site in just a moment. From that girl site, cutest N64 hoodie.
Ooh.
It is adorable.
Yes, there we go. We needed that song.
We'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be hitting.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm taking some ibuprofen. I'm hoping I'll take it eventually.
Ginger.
Bye, boys and girls.